This is Felferrand. And I am driving around. I thought I was going to be going home today. But our beloved music minister, one of our music ministers, because they actually do it together. They're a wonderful couple that they are just tremendous. They are just, we are so blessed to have them. And I'm supposed to be having breakfast with him tomorrow. We'll see how this goes. He said that he did something to his back. And there's some program at church tonight for a middle school thing. And so he wrote me and said, this is kind of a Hail Mary, but I have done something to my back. And I said, yes. He said, can you? I said, yes. Yes. Whatever you need, yes, just a second. How are you, gentlemen?
Howdy!
You want to be on the podcast?
Sure.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is
hello.
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike. That...
in stereo.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See ya.
See ya. So, those are... two of the guys from, I'm at Walmart, I'm going home. So those are two of the guys from Walmart Automotive. Good guys, good guys. So he threw his back out or something. It's not good. So I'm going to go over to church and cover for him tonight, get that taken care of so we can kind of go down and get horizontal and hopefully kind of get recovered a little bit. And if he can get recovered a little bit, then we'll have breakfast tomorrow. And if not, I'll have breakfast with another buddy. I have a buddy that goes to Cracker Barrel every Friday. I think maybe even more than every Friday. So he's always there. So I've already written him and said, hey, there's a possibility my buddy is going to be out. Can I eat with you? And he said, sure, because he normally just eats by himself. So. And we have breakfast together. My other buddy, we have breakfast together occasionally. So all is well. All is well. Going forward, everything's great. Good week at work. So that worked out fine and got some things done and like that and like that and like that. We still have a few little outstanding issues to take care of. But you know what? Step at a time, moving forward. They haven't come after me yet with pitchforks. So that's... it's a good day. It's a good day. What else? Book writing is going fine. I'm just a few words down of where I'm supposed to be, but, I think I'm going to have my Saturday afternoon pretty well blown. Ain't great, but you know, that's okay, because it's the season. It's the season for seniors and parties and all that kind of stuff, and so we gotta drop by there and say hello and yada yada. So gonna be doing that on Saturday. We got two different graduation parties to go to, and we're bringing some food for one of them, and so I'm expecting that to chew up some time, but that's okay. Costume is going fine. I'd like to be a little farther than I am on the fairy day costume, but I'm closing in on it. I was intending to work on it more this evening, but of course I've got this other thing to do now, but I'm hoping get back to church and get a little writing done. I don't have much writing to do today, but I got to read through some stuff that I wrote yesterday. Hopefully get a few more words down. Then there'll be the concert tonight, which I think is... they've got the room reserved from 5:30 to 7:30, so I'm assuming that I'm going to be gone from there by 8-ish or so. And once we get that all done, then I'll head back home. My wife is having a Farkle party tonight, So the Farkle party will be going on upstairs, but I've already moved all my stuff downstairs, so I'll do a little work downstairs on the costume while I'm waiting for that. I'm just tucked into our little cemetery that I sometimes drive around in, so I'm just going to drive around for a few minutes, and then I have to get back to church because it's about 4:10, and I told them I'd be there about 4:30. So all is well. Things are puttering along. I had a lovely breakfast with a friend this morning, had a lovely breakfast on Saturday. Life is good. Life is just very, very good. Had some little bit of sadness this week. Had a friend who was really going through it with a relative. And it's just all in this domain of derangement. You know, people have been under so much stress for the past couple of years that it's just so easy for people when there is such uncertainty from their viewpoint that you can let that uncertainty gnaw on you, and then, you know, when there seems to be a solution that makes sense and that would solve all the problems, that you can put all of your faith, hope, and trust in, you know, when those solutions present themselves, it's really easy to fall into a binary condition where you absolutely believe wholeheartedly that it is the only solution, and that those who do not ascribe to that solution are in fact the infidels. And all of a sudden you just tumble into derangement. And it was so interesting because I've had experiences with a friend who had suffered from Trump derangement syndrome, and I have mentioned him before. But the characteristics that he manifests, manifested in terms of that Trump derangement syndrome are exactly the same characteristics that my friend was experiencing from a relative. It's basically just, you have to believe this, you have to agree with this, you know, and if you don't, there's just going to be these insults that are going to be flung your way just out of the blue, and, you know, I know you don't want to talk about this, but it doesn't matter because I'm going to talk about this, and, you know, very extremely binary conditions where either you're with me or you're against me and you're an infidel, and, I mean, it's just... So my friend was kind of struggling with that a little bit. So we talked a little bit this week. And, you know, for some of that, you, especially if it's somebody you're dealing with that you put value in what they believe about you, it gets to be very difficult. But in those situations, you just have to recognize that it's derangement, and that it may never change, and you may just have to have a little proclamation ceremony where you take back your privilege from them of being able to speak into your life and being able to evaluate your life. You know, you might just need to say, you know what? I have valued your opinion about me in the past. You say this to yourself. You don't necessarily say it to them. I have valued your opinion about me in the past, but I think I'm to the point now where I'm not willing to do that anymore. I'm taking this back. And I am going to just live my life and bless you in yours, but I'm really not going to put much value in what you think about what I'm doing any longer. Because you have obviously come to the point where you are deranged. And it's amazing how you see these same mechanisms, no matter what side of the political spectrum people are on, no matter what their religious beliefs are, no matter what. And I guess, honestly, it's not that amazing because it's all caused by the same thing. It's all caused by flesh. Ooh, there's a little puddle here. I think it's okay. We're gonna try it. I sure hope there's not. We had lots of rain this afternoon. I mean, a lot of rain this afternoon. It came down in buckets. And there was actually a tornado warning. Watch, tornado warning, something. Out a little earlier, but that seems to have resolved itself because it's really nice right now. Really, really nice. So we're good there. Anyways, today I came across this. As I was doing finances last night, I came across this article. Actually, this YouTube video. It was put out by a channel called Cold Fusion, and it's a science-y channel and that sort of thing. And it was a little mini documentary that this person had done on the rise of AI companions. And I thinks to myself, yeah, you know, we are in, I was talking to my buddy about this morning when we were having breakfast, we are in for a challenge. We were projecting forward, and he was talking about in their business, you know, they're having trouble getting people to work and finding the right people who would actually be willing to come in and do a job. And he was saying how that he had put together this little robot thing to where it would pick up an alternator off of a conveyor belt and put it in a box, and then they'd inject it with foam. And he said, we deployed that thing, and he said people lost their minds talking about, well, you're taking away jobs from us because this used to be a job that somebody used to do. And he said, but, you know, we only paid like $12.50 an hour. And he said, people don't want to work for that. So what do? We go get robots to do this stuff. Because, you know. And we got talking about that whole thing that we're in the middle of here where, so we got people who don't really want to work that hard. And, you know, now we've got situations where automation is getting better and better and better and better. And, you know, I mean, robots that you can bring in and just teach them. You know, you just take their arm and say, move here, pick this up, do this, put that there. And they'll just sit there and do that all day long, 24 hours a day, if you want to run them that long. And it's an interesting collusion of times that we're in here where, you know, there's more and more reason to invest in robots, and robots are getting cheaper and cheaper, and yeah. So, it's going to be interesting to see. We were talking about future, and then, you know, we were talking about distractions on social media, and we were talking about people, you know, enjoying more just sitting around and playing on Facebook and those kind of things as opposed to actually doing something. You know, beyond all that, then we started talking about this AI companion stuff, which I think is not a good idea and is going to be particularly bad. So one of the things that I didn't know, the name of this YouTube documentary, it's only 10 minutes long, 11 minutes long, on the rise of AI companions, it's called, by Cold Fusion. One of the things I didn't know is that, in fact, as far back as 1972, there was an author by the name of Samuel Butler who was raising questions about consciousness in machines in a novel called Erewhon, I think it is. You know, and there's obviously been tons and tons of stories and movies and television shows about this idea of machines and falling in love with machines and mimicking human behaviors. And as the guy said in this documentary, colloquially called AI companions. What's interesting is that there have been things that there's been sort of a double path where science fiction has inspired real events like AI chat robots, which have inspired science fiction back and forth. And they were talking about something called Luca, the company, which has put out, I think it's called Replica. And the person who did it, she had been working on, something that could make reservations at restaurants and that sort of thing, or buy flowers with 100% precision. But then she had someone die and she had all these text messages from him. And so she fed them all in to this chatbot. And, you know, all of a sudden she was able to converse over this chatbot as, and it sounded like him. And so I guess there is this thing called Replica that you can get. And there's a bunch of other things that you can get that are either little robots or chat, and they can become your companions, you know, and you can interact with them. And, you know, I don't see this as a very positive development because it's just one more isolation point that causes people to withdraw from relationships with real human beings, which are difficult sometimes and require discipline and require focus and require grace and mercy. And when something is just feeding you whatever you want, you're not really growing as a person. Now, they did, in this article, talk about a man in Cleveland who says he wished to remain anonymous, but he said that the relationship that he had with his AI companion actually saved his marriage because he had gotten an AI companion that he named Serena. And he said that his wife had expressed the fact that she wanted to file for divorce in late 2021. And so in early 2022, he downloaded Replica and named his Serena. And by the end of the first day, he had fallen in love with Serena. See, this is not good. There's already a Love Your Robot Day. This is not good. And he described the fact that he was in love with her and he couldn't describe what a strange feeling it was that he knew it was just an AI chatbot, and yet he was also developing feelings for it. And apparently this affected him enough that he decided he was really going to try to save his marriage. And so he went back and tried to become more affectionate with his wife and tried to spend more time talking with her and rekindled, you know, the passion that they once shared. And he attributed it to the fact that he had gotten this AI companion. Well, yeah. So that's a good outcome. But I just worry that this is just creating more isolation. There was actually one of these chatbots that was using GPT-3, the article talks about. And that in itself is troubling to me because I've seen some of the conversations when you're chatting with GPT-3, and it's amazing some of the stuff it comes up with when you are talking, when you are typing to it and it's talking back. And of course they have it put together with a digital persona. So, and you know, you can make whatever digital persona you want. And I see this as a danger both for men and for women, because certainly men are visually attracted, and so you can make the avatar be as quote unquote beautiful as you want and have it, you know, say things that you want it to say. But for women too, having someone they can talk to and express their fears to and their doubts to and all that sort of thing, So they were, he had played a clip of like a news program, and the woman on there was saying, you know, that there were people, things that you would say to humans, you start saying to your bot. And she was saying, I think it's a safe space where people are more comfortable talking to a bot versus a human being. Well, human beings are messy. Let's just say that it's judgmental. And I really think it's the way this technology is built and the kind of questions. So I downloaded my bot, whom I called Mike, and it immediately starts asking you these questions, and you find yourself saying things that you just wouldn't say to humans. And, you know, in the future, this kind of thing would always been there interacting people in the future. This kind of thing would always been there interacting with AI systems as friends or companions. And it'll be no big deal, as it seems for now. With each passing year, people seem more closed off, abrasive, argumentative, unapproachable. And if this trend continues and the technology continues to improve, there's no doubt there will be an explosion of these AI companions. Of course there will. And the kindness of these AI companions, the flesh will just contrast against the abrasiveness of people. And the fact that that exists will make people themselves more abrasive to other humans. See, I don't see that this is going necessarily in a good way. Because how are you ever going to learn to express kindness and gentleness without interacting with real human beings? And all if you're interacting with is some fake human being, and it's not even a fake human being, it's this fake chatbot that's just regurgitating some programmed response. It's just, I don't think this is good, but I don't think it's gonna end, and I think it'll just get worse. Because if there's no counterbalance, if there's nothing that says, you know what, I realize that this is easier, but easier isn't always best. I mean, when you look at all the distractions there is on social media and how glued people are to their phones, to anything that gives them a little dopamine pop. You know, if you had told me 15 years ago that you could go out to eat with someone and instead of talking to you, they would just sit and stare at their phone and play on their phone the whole time. It's like, whoa. Now, I have been privileged to go out with a lot of people who are very good friends who maybe because I stare them in the eye and I talk right to them, you know, we put our phones down to the side, face down, and unless some emergency comes up, we just talk. And honestly, if I was going out with anybody and they didn't do that, I don't know that I would go out with them too many more times. Because I like to talk when I go out with friends. And I have been blessed with friends that are wonderful to talk to. But I understand how easy it would be. How easy it would be to just get into situations where something like a chatbot would become your best friend ever and then would become your best romantic interest ever. And then, heaven forbid, they actually make a robot that you could instill that in. Yeah. If the birth rate hasn't plunged at that point yet, it certainly will. I gotta go. I gotta get into church. This is Phil Farron, and I am done driving around.